I come to you in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anyone who is brave enough, or perhaps stupid enough, to ride his or her bicycle on the streets of a city, town, or a village will at some time or another hear these six words spoken from a car window. Get out of the dang street. This happened to me just the other day. I was riding down South Grand Avenue in St. Louis City when a driver sped up behind me, swerved around me, and then yelled these words directly at me. Get out of the dang street. Although he substituted another more colorful word in the place of dang. It does not feel good to be told that your body is an inconvenience, an annoyance, and a hindrance to somebody else's progress. And as many of you know, you don't have to be a cyclist to have heard these six entitled words, get out of the dang street. You don't have to ride a bike to know what it feels like to be told to move on to the side, to get out of the way, to stop trespassing where you don't belong, because motor vehicular supremacy ain't the only idolatry ordering bodies around in our community. In fact, it's probably the least of our problems. There's all sorts of ways that various supremacies tell folks to get out of the dang street. Your children don't belong in our school district. Get out of the dang street. You people are going to destroy the suburbs. Get out of the dang street. Your pre-existing condition isn't covered. Get out of the dang street. You've been cleared from the voter registration rolls. Get out of the dang street. Your voice doesn't count. Get out of the dang street. Your life doesn't matter. Get out of the dang street. You don't have the proper documentation. Get out of the dang street. You don't know all the right words and the proper responses in our precious liturgy. Get out of the dang street. Your body is not welcome here. Get out of the dang street. This morning in our gospel reading, the priest from the fancy downtown temple asked Jesus this question. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Some biblical scholars will tell you that a better translation of the Greek text would have the priest say to Jesus, Jesus, get out of the dang street. And by some biblical scholars, I really mean one biblical scholar, me. But seriously, that's what these clergymen are saying. This is not an honest question. It's a demand pretending to be a question. You see, just yesterday, Jesus showed up at their downtown temple, uninvited, so to speak. And he had a sermon to preach, but he wasn't on the roster. He had a liturgy to perform, but it wasn't the one printed in the bulletin. He had some visitors to invite, but they weren't the regular church-going type. His sermon was entitled, Stop Profiting Off the People. His liturgy involved turning over the narthex tables. Instead of taking up an offering, he offered the people healing. And his guest list included a bunch of loud, noisy, rambunctious children. When the priest asked Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? These are the things that Jesus had been doing. Jesus showed up, peddling a message of God's love and liberation on a downtown street that the priest believed belonged solely to them. He slows down their profit. He backs up their traffic. He limits the speed of their greed. And they are not happy. And so this morning, back at the temple, the scene of yesterday's crime, if you will, the priests and deacons ask Jesus a question that's not really a question. It's more like a statement of their theological position. It's a demand rather than an inquisition. What right, Jesus, do you have to do these things? And who gave you that right? How dare you, Jesus? You ain't got the right papers to be here, Jesus. You ain't got the right permit to march here, Jesus. You ain't got the right credentials to preach here, Jesus. So get out of the dang street, Jesus. Go back to Galilee, Jesus, where you belong. If you've ever been told to get out of the dang street, if you've ever been told that you don't belong in the lane of dignity or the lane of democracy or the lane of community or the lane of respectability, take comfort in this. Jesus was told the same thing. He got told it a lot, in fact, especially by folks of privilege and entitlement who believe they owned the whole dang road. Jesus knows your struggle because a struggle for a place on the street is his struggle. Jesus, of course, doesn't agree to the priestly rules of the road, and he responds with a question of his own, a question that's not really a question, but more of a critique. He says, "All right, I'll move. I'll get on the sidewalk if you answer my question. Did John the Baptist have a right to occupy the street? Did John have the right to sit at the lunch counter? Did John have the right to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge? Did John have the right to send his kids to a quality school? Did John have the right to representation? Did John have a right to buy a house in the suburbs of Jerusalem? Did John have a right to preach a message of liberation? In tune with the prophets that you monumentalize in stone, did John have the right to be in the dang street?" Jesus knows the answer to this question, but he asks it anyhow as a way of bringing clarity to the situation. You see, popular opinion about John the Baptist was not in line with priestly prejudice. The people knew exactly what side of history John was on. He was on the right side. He was on God's side. Heck, and not only did he have a right to be in the street, he had the right to build a whole new highway out in the wilderness, a highway that would lead to both personal and communal transformation, an interstate system accessible to everyone, leading to salvation. Old King Herod told John to get out of the dang street, and then ran him over when the prophet refused to cooperate. The priests knew that. The people knew that. Jesus knew that. So his question to the priests and elders is really, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Are you on the side of the powers and principalities that write and enforce the traffic laws and traffic orders that keep folks like John out of the street and kick them to the curbs and the ditches? Or are you on the side of the Baptist and that long list of God's prophets who build highways with lanes big enough and wide enough and smooth enough for everybody to drive on? Jesus asks the priest and the elders, which side are you on? And just to be clear, this isn't a partisan question. Jesus doesn't much care about the priests and elders' party affiliation. It's not about right and left, conservative or liberal. It's about right and wrong, people or prophet. It's about whether you're on the side of God's movement of love, a movement that disrupts and agitates all earthly parties and institutions, or whether you're on the side of the spiritual forces of wickedness in high places that try to convince us that some folks just don't belong in the dang street. Which side are you on? The priests knew the answer to the question. The people knew the answer to the question. The record was clear. The priests had chosen the side of greed, profit, and privilege. And they knew that if they answered Jesus honestly, they would lose their legitimacy to regulate the flow of traffic. And so they remained silent. No comment, Jesus, no comment. And in the void of their silence, Jesus not only declines their demand to get out of the dang street, he goes as far as to say that the tax collector, the prostitute, and the slow rolling cyclist will make it to the kingdom ahead of them. We are a long way and a long time from first century Jerusalem. But there still are priests and elders among us. Priests and elders who believe that it is their duty to tell Jesus to get out of the dang temple, to get out of the dang town, to get out of the dang street. And although they might point to traffic law and traffic order to justify their demands, their real motivation is fear. Fear that if everybody has access to the highway, they might lose their privileged express lanes, where they can drive as fast and as reckless as they please. Priests and elders are still with us, but the good news is that so is Jesus. He's walking down that salvation road that runs straight through our cities, townships, and communities. A road prepared by John the Baptist out in the wilderness. And he invites us to step out of the sidewalk and join him in the street. He invites the disenfranchised to occupy the lanes of democracy. He invites the prisoner to occupy the lanes of liberty. He invites same gender loving people to occupy the lanes of marriage equality. He invites the sick to occupy the lanes of medical affordability. He invites the lonely to occupy the lanes of a beloved community. He invites the poor to occupy the lanes of human dignity. He invites the hungry to occupy the lanes of abundance and generosity. He invites all of us to occupy the lanes of our God-given destiny. The destiny to live as brothers and sisters and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when contemporary priests and the contemporary elders tell Jesus and those in his caravan to get out of the dang street, Jesus points to that great arc of history. He points to that holy, unpermitted parade marching towards freedom and liberty, a parade that stretches back past the Baptist, past even Moses, past the beginning of time, straight into God's presence. And Jesus says, "Which side are you on?" And it's our answer to that question that will determine whether we walk with the sinners, the prostitutes, and the tax collectors into God's kingdom, or lag behind with the priest and the elders. Amen.